Joan Schumpauer Mulholland was born in Arlington in 1941 and grew up during the years of segregation. While visiting family in rural Georgia, 10-year-old Joan dared a friend to walk through the black section of town. That's when she says she realized just how bad things really were.
So we left our bikes and went for a stroll, and it was just so blatant, the difference. I mean, the white section was poor enough, but it was just so much worse.
She became involved in the movement during her first year at Duke University, with sit-ins, picket lines, and a few arrests.
I think my thinking was propelled in this direction by being sort of a literalist, and we memorized Bible verses about how to treat each other, and we had to memorize the Declaration of Independence back then, and we didn't practice what we preached.
After that first year, she moved back to D.C. and joined local civil rights efforts, including a sit-in at the People's Drugstore on Lee Highway, and at the Woolworths in Shirlington.
During the early weeks of February 1960, the demonstrations that came to be called the sit-in movement exploded across the South.
Within a few weeks, the drugstores desegregated and protesters took to their next cause, Glen Echo Park. There she encountered a greater presence of pro-segregation groups, like the American Nazi Party.
And they showed up at Glen Echo, which got really a little hairy because you also had, in addition to the brown shirts and swastika armbands, you had folks picketing with numbers tattooed on their arm from the concentration camps of World War II. I don't really remember being scared. You would be perhaps apprehensive. I couldn't have told you this then, but now I can say that fear paralyzes you and keeps you from doing what you need to do, to think the way you need to think.
Later that summer, Joan and other activists flew down to New Orleans and caught a train to Mississippi to meet up with the Freedom Riders.
Well, as this train rolls on toward Jackson, Mississippi, do you have any second thoughts with regard to this effort you're taking?
She was arrested yet again, only this time her punishment was much more severe. She was sent to Parchman, Mississippi's state penitentiary, where she and other activists lived on death row for 2 months.
I suspect at some level I knew it could be dangerous, but no, I wasn't worried about dying.
Joan enrolled as the first white woman at Tougaloo College in Jackson, Mississippi, and stayed active in the movement. A 1963 sit-in at the Woolworths in Jackson turned Joan into one of the more recognizable faces of the civil rights era. Mike O'Brien, author of We Shall Not Be Moved, explains.
When Joan sat down, she was the first white person to join the demonstration. When they saw that, it sparked something in them that they just couldn't live with. You know, that's why a guy from the crowd just grabbed her by the waist and dragged her out of the store.
Condiments were poured, protesters were knocked off their stools and beaten. All of it was caught by media present.
When I first met Joan and her kids, the kids would always say, "My mom's in a famous picture." It shows the divide, but it also shows how angry and complicated and difficult a mob can become.
Shortly after the Jackson Woolworths sit-in, President Kennedy called for the Civil Rights Act, which was signed into law by President Johnson in July of 1964. Things have changed in 50 years, but Joan keeps fighting.
It's not over. We're still working on it.
And while a 10-year-old's daring walk through a black community opened her eyes to racial inequality, she says her motivation to ignite change stemmed from the fact that she's a Southerner.
No two ways about it. And I think that's what brought me to it, that the South should be the best that it could be.
Rachel Nania, WTOP.com.